Tomorrow is the first anniversary of the explosion at the Deepwater Horizon oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico that caused that huge oil spill. All this week, we're talking to folks from the Gulf region whose lives were changed by the disaster. You may not have seen this headline, John, but last week was the end of sensory testing for seafood in the Gulf. Do you know what the sensory testing is? They have.
Is that the people that smell
Yeah, they
it?
Have expert smellers. With incredible accuracy, this is at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric
who says
Administration.
Incredible accuracy.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
You know, got to believe them. Yes.
Expert smellers, and they try to detect crude oil in seafood. They say it's clean, and in fact, no tainted seafood ever hit supermarket shelves. But that doesn't mean the brand
smells
has
fine to us.
Recovered. Well, we'll ask Dean Blanchard. He smells it every day. Dean Blanchard owns a wholesale seafood business in Louisiana. We spoke to you frequently on the takeaway in the days and weeks that followed the Gulf oil spill. Well, Dean, is the seafood clean?
Oh, we've been eating it.
And you're not sick?
No.
Although they're going to continue testing for a few years, but that doesn't change the issue for seafood sellers like yourself, that there's still a lack of consumer confidence and chef confidence, right?
Well, we got the last reports I've seen, 41% of the people believe that the seafood's still tainted.
Well, remind us where over the times that we've spoke to you after the explosion. I mean, a lot of the things that we spoke to you were your worries about what could happen, the worst possible scenarios. Here it is a year later. How does the reality of the situation match up with what you expected?
Well, it's pretty much what we expected. BP came in and didn't clean nothing up. You know, what can you expect when you make a mess and you leave it? You still continue to have a mess.
You know, Dean, is this shaken up to be a contamination issue, and it sounds like maybe not so much, or is it a die-off where, infant fish or baby shrimp or oyster beds are going to be affected going forward?
Well, that's our biggest concern. You're not going to catch if a shrimp's sick and he dies, you're not going to catch a dead shrimp. The only way you could catch a shrimp with a shrimp net is if it's alive. It got to actually jump in the net for you to catch it.
Well,
so we're not worried about you catching dead shrimp or sick shrimp. The problem we're worried about is the reproductive system in the coming years.
Well, tell me how your business has been affected. Have you seen a reduction in the amount of sales that you're getting?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I mean, basically, we every time we make a sale, we got to convince them that the product's all right.
We're speaking yet again to our friend Dean Blanchard, who owns a wholesale seafood business in Louisiana. And Dean, when we talked to you a few times before, you were talking about some of the visible impacts of the oil spill. You told us one time that the water had actually changed color for the first time in your lifetime. Has it returned to normal by what you can see?
Oh, yeah, it changes. I've seen stuff I've never seen before. I've lived underwater my whole life. I'm 52 years old, and I've certainly seen stuff that I've never seen before. BP was allowed to spray enough chemicals in the Gulf of Mexico to make it similar to what would happen in a shrimp farm or something. I mean, we got dead dolphins coming up on the beach. There's a lot of things happening. You got dead turtles coming up. Noah wants to blame it on the fishermen, but the fishermen were actually not even fishing at the time.
You know, Dean, it's so sad to hear you talking about that because you spent your life doing this. I'm wondering if to help out your marketing, you need to change the name of Gulf of Mexico. Maybe call it, Cuba Cove or something.
Well, what I tell them, you got two choices on shrimp these days. You could have shrimp from the Gulf with BP all in the heads, or you got your choice of shrimp from the Pacific. They glow in the dark.
Well, you know, explain to me what you've seen in terms of recovery efforts. I mean, there must be a lot of activity from environmental cleanup groups. Have you or yourself seen a lot of activity from BP-associated groups?
If you try to pick up all, they'll attempt to arrest you.
The last
thing BP wanted was anybody to pick up oil. If you was actually working for BP and you actually tried to pick up oil, they would fire you.
That's still going on today?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's still going on. It's been going on from day one. It took us about 10 days to figure out that BP wasn't trying to pick up the oil. And, I mean, that was a day that hit me hard when I finally come to realize that BP wasn't trying to pick up the oil. You know, at first, the first 8-10 days, we all on the same page. We trying to develop ways to pick up the oil. We thinking that BP's going to come in here and pick up the oil. And after about 10 days, it was clear that they never wanted to pick up the oil. Their whole plan from the very beginning was to get the oil, fly over it, spray it, and sink it and hide it.
Well, so you think that the oil has dropped to the bottom of the ocean, because we're told that a lot of the oil either dispersed or was eaten by algae, and we don't entirely know where it is.
Well, that's what we know one thing for certain, that BP didn't pick it up and deposit it in a landfill. We know that. We know for sure they sunk it. You know, every time you hit the bottom with your propeller, the oil comes back up.
You see oil pluming up from the bottom of the seafloor.
Yes, ma'am. Every day.
Dean Blanchard owns a wholesale seafood business in Louisiana. Dean, if we speak to you in a year, one has to assume your sales are going to be back up to normal, maybe?
No, I doubt it. I think for the next 40 years, every morning we wake up in the morning, the first thing that's going to come on our mind is oil.
Dean Blanchard speaks to us from Grand Isle, Louisiana. He's the owner of a seafood business down there in Louisiana. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Dean.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.